7. Only our mothers can tell us apart. That is the tagline for this week. If you think you know what it is, based off a movie that we may have talked about last week, which may actually be getting a sequel, you can let us know at moviesonup@gmail.com. You can get to us on the Twitter @moviesonup or from our home base on the internet, moviesonup.com. You can click on our Facebook link to find our Facebook page and let us know your guess for this week. I guess if you do it like on Facebook and you get it right, people are going to know and then they're just going to copy off you. So maybe you ought to email it to us because that'll be maintain some kind of secrecy.
I stopped listening for a second, but yes.
No, I'm right. Just agree with me. My rationale is sound. Everything I said makes perfect sense. And if you are a completely normally functioning adult, you can probably arrive to the same conclusion. I was going to wait and see if you wanted to say anything, but you know,
I don't.
Okay. Fair enough. Normal functioning adult. I mean, I think most of us are at least functioning on a somewhat normal level. We're all a little bit nuts in that, you know, we got this kind of obsession with movies, but I think there was at least one guy, this past weekend that was a little bit more nuts than most of us. And of course that's, the guy that showed up in Colorado and shot the joint up.
Yeah. Like, we try to stay lighthearted here, but it's hard not to bring it up as movie fans, the whole Aurora, Colorado incident.
And this did, you know, really kind of put a big stink on what really should have been a really, really nice weekend for film.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was highly anticipated. The Avengers weekend was fun for moviegoers.
Yeah. Dark a bit of a Knight, pleasant surprise.
Dark Knight should have been the same, but you had to ruin it for whatever reason, you know. No, who cares if there is a reason? Like, I these things ruin me. But it's just, we're movie fans. Like, if you're listening to us, chances are you're movie fans. I'm somebody that used to go to midnight showings all the time. I still have friends that go to midnight showings.
Yeah.
Like, I have a friend that lives in Aurora that I'm pretty sure went to a midnight showing. So all day Friday, I haven't talked to her in a couple of years, so it's hard to reach out. But as soon as the victims' names were released, I went through them to make sure she wasn't one of them.
Right.
So I mean, it did hit me hard. Like, even if I didn't know anybody that lived in the area, like, I love movies. I love going to the movies, and for somebody to tarnish that and to, you know, ruin that experience for so many people.
And not even, you know, the tragedy happened in a movie theater. It wouldn't have been any better if it would have happened
anywhere else.
I mean, that's not what we're saying.
It hits closer to home that it's, I could have been there. Like, I mean,
it could happen, yeah.
It's something that I do regularly. I go to the movies.
And I think that's the part of it that bothers so many people is that, you know, there was no particular reason that it should have happened, you know, at a movie theater as opposed to happening at a concert or anything. Like, it's that kind of random act that could, unfortunately, happen anywhere. And it just happened, you know, at a time where people were just getting together to just have a good time, to, you know, to enjoy something that they've been looking forward to for a long time.
This Batman Dark Knight Rises was so highly anticipated. So, you know, you had people out there that probably don't go to a lot of movies.
Yeah.
They definitely don't go to midnight movies, but this one they wanted to. And it's just terrifying. Like, it's frightening. And it absolutely ruined my Friday. Like, it really did, even though, like, I mean, acts like this reach out. And I mean, I hate that the media kind of glorifies him. Like, I wish his name should not be a household name now. His name should never be released. We don't need to know who it is. We don't need to try to dig.
Yeah, why. I don't need to hear anything else about him.
He should be a faceless villain. The victim should be the ones that get glorified. I mean, Jessica Redfield, one of the victims.
The sportscaster, right?
She's a hockey blogger. She narrowly escaped a shooting in Toronto
a
month ago. And then she's there. Like, she should be a household name. Like, get her story out there. Get the guy that died taking a bullet for his girlfriend. Like, get them out there. Let's have them on the news, not him.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's all that was on MSNBC today was about, well,
and we're 3 days away.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went to court today, and I just, this isn't a movie thing, but this just drives me nuts. I hate in the media how they're referring to him as a suspect.
Yeah.
He fucking did it.
I know.
I understand he's innocent until proven guilty. He's proven guilty once he opens fire on those innocent fucking people. Like, he fucking did it. He's not a suspect. He's the goddamn shooter. Like,
yeah, but you're right. That's just...
We're not going to get too deep into that.
Like, into that semantical argument, no. But, you know, there were kind of a couple things, kind of definitely lesser things that came out of this that kind of affected a lot of different things within The Dark Knight, within some of the trailers that were shown and some things that were even broadcast this weekend that we were going to kind of get into that all came in the wake of this event. The first thing, as it pertains to our podcast, we usually like to start, you know, talking about box office, the numbers that the movies did this weekend. And one of the things that had come out, I think it was Friday, that Rentrak, which is the company that is, you know, one of the probably the most trusted in terms of worldwide box office reporting, had said that they weren't going to release any worldwide grosses for anything this weekend. And then Warner Brothers actually went on to kind of add on to that and say that they weren't going to mention how much money Batman made until Monday.
Because during the weekend, like, studios give Friday updates, mm-hmm. Saturday updates. So, I mean, they keep you updated. In a movie like this,
people want to know.
If you're into the box office and stuff, because there were people projecting this as high as $214 million that would have beaten Batman.
Well, yeah, I mean,
or beaten Avengers.
We do the same thing with our over-under. So, yeah, I mean...
I follow them every week.
Yeah, we would have been... We were interested in kind of the numbers, but...
And here's my... I don't understand how that helps. I don't understand how holding the numbers back helps, but I understand that they felt they needed to do something, and this is a gesture... Like, I don't think it's the most help. I mean, I don't. Their hands are kind of tied. They can't take it away.
Yeah.
They can't fix it. Like, it happened.
Right. And
so they have to make a gesture. I don't understand how this helped, but I understand the decision to do it just because they need to do something.
Something. But I mean, I really don't think. And I know this guy showed up to the movie and dressed as a Joker or whatever, but it wasn't the movie's fault that this happened.
No.
So I don't see how, you know, trying to say, you know, be conscientious and say, well, you know, we don't want to tell people how much money this movie made. Like, the movie is not what got, you know, these people killed, unfortunately. It was
he wanted a highly publicized event.
Crazy dude that knew that, you know, he could find at this time on this day, he could find a room chock full of people. And that's what he did. So, I mean, yeah, like we're saying, not reporting box office numbers doesn't, you know, bring anybody back. It doesn't, you know, take the event away. It doesn't make it even, you know, less serious than it was. It just seemed like the first of what was a couple kind of just knee-jerk reactions that, you know, we got
to... Like I said, I think it's just they needed to make a gesture, and there's really nothing they could do. Because outside of not reporting box office, what can they do?
Well, that's all Rentrak does, yeah. I mean, that's all they could do.
But even WB, like, not reporting the numbers for it, like,
well, they did. I mean, Warner Brothers did a couple things. I mean, it was. I'll skip to that right now. The three major networks had pulled the ads, the trailers for Batman. And at first, it was reported that it was a network decision, but it actually came from the studio first.
Did okay? Because I thought it was networks.
Yeah, no, it was the studios that had originally pulled the ads for Dark Knight Rises, and then the networks kind of got on board. And I mean, they're going to show up later.
Here's the thing about that. My buddy Nick, he pays heavy attention to it. He saw a Dark Knight Rises trailer or TV spot at 12:01 Monday morning. So it's like they pulled him through the weekend. But 12:01 Monday morning, it was right back up.
Yeah, but and that's another thing. Like, everybody knew that movie was out. You know what I mean? Like, by not advertising it, especially with the three networks, when, you know, you saw Dateline, you saw 48 Hours, you saw 2020, they were all live, you know, from Colorado,
talking about.
So, like, on the one hand, we don't want to, you know, try and publicize this movie. But on the other hand, all you're telling people about is, you know, this movie. So, I mean, it did seem, you know, obviously, to run a spot on TV, you want somebody to go out and you want somebody to pay money to go see this movie. That's why you're running the spot. I get it. And, you know, by, you know, doing 2020, you're not trying to get somebody to go see Batman. You're trying to explain this story that happened. But, you know, if we're going to, people are going to go do what they're going to do. You know, nobody was wrong. Dave and I both saw the movie this weekend. We weren't wrong for going to see Batman.
I understand being scared. I understand not wanting to go.
Yeah, I can understand that too.
But he wins then. I mean, that's what he wants. He wants to invoke fear. Like, he just wants to strike fear into people without being around them. And not going to the movies does that. I'm not saying, like, if you're scared, that's perfectly reasonable.
It's a rational response.
If you don't want to go to the movies for a while because of this,
yeah,
that makes sense. Me, personally, I don't let these people stop me from stuff.
No, I mean, that was such a random thing that, you know, it could happen, you know, it could happen to any of us anywhere.
It could happen at a Brave showing. It could happen at work.
Yeah.
If you work in public, I mean, it could happen anywhere.
Right, so... You know, that was just one of those things that did seem a little bit odd. Something else that happened, there was a lot of programming that got pulled from just a different programming. Showtime had said they were going to try and pull some of their more violent films off the air. NBC Universal was going to pull some episodes of SVU and a particular episode of The Unit, which involves some kind of hostage situation. And the thing that I found was kind of weird was FX still... as far as I know, aired Batman Begins on Friday and on Sunday. But to me, this didn't happen because of a violent movie. I mean, yeah, people died in the Batman movie, but it was rated PG-13. This wasn't overly violent.
I mean, it was pretty violent, but I mean, one thing that did make sense is they pulled the trailer for Gangster Squad from before because Gangster Squad was supposed to be attached to all showings. There's a scene in the trailer where they're shooting through a movie screen into the audience. That makes sense to pull it.
Exactly.
Because that makes sense. And
because essentially that happened. Like, people got killed in a movie theater that weekend. I could see being, you know, wanting to respect the event.
And I mean that, I mean, if you want to talk about long-term effects, that affects that movie also, Gangster Squad, because it's due out in September, but the climax of that movie is that scene from the trailer where they're shooting into a movie theater. So do you bump it back and give healing time, or do you reshoot the whole climax of the movie? So, that's going to affect Gangster Squad, which, I mean, we've seen stuff happen. V for Vendetta got bumped back. Drive got bumped back. Not Drive, Driven.
Yeah. So, I mean, I did the same thing.
I know. So it's happened before, but, it's just scary. And I mean, that makes sense. If you don't want it to come out in September, I understand. I think it'll get pushed till March or something.
Yeah.
But even if it got pushed back to its regular October, like, I think that's fine. But if you want to look at it from another angle, and I hate to I'm not trying to minimize anything, but if you look at big picture, what's this do to the movie going experience? We're probably going to see metal detectors in movie theaters. We're probably going to see beefed up security at midnight events.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think...
Some theaters are already banning costumes for midnight events, which is part of the event.
Yeah, but like if you look at, after, 9/11, there were a lot of different things that, you know, when people were afraid to go back to large, you know, sporting events, you know, there's different procedures now to get into a football game, you know, to get into, you know, events where people are gathered. And yeah, I guess it's unfortunate that, you know, this had to happen and that we're probably going to have metal detectors. But in the end, you know, maybe it is a good thing.
It is for the better. Yeah. But I mean, the trickle down effect of that is metal detectors in the movies, beefed up security, that leads to higher ticket prices.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's fine. We know this could always have happened.
Sure.
It's happened now.
But
if that's what the people that are scared to go to the movies now, if an extra 50 cents to a dollar,
that's what I was
going to
say, wouldn't it be worth
it?
It's
okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Like, I mean, like, you have kids.
Yes.
If you paid an extra 50 cents on top of each ticket, you know, to have a metal detector to make sure that, you know, as best you could, that some, you know, maniac wasn't going to be able to show up. Like, I mean, I'm not even going to ask you because I know that would be worth it for you.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's why I'm saying, like, I'm not saying, like, oh, he ruined it. We're going to get higher ticket prices and he's going to ruin midnight events. Because it's not like that. Like, I understand. But if you look at big picture, like, this is
maybe those things will probably happen.
This will happen. Yeah. And midnight showings, do a lot of theaters do away with them? I mean, I could see in smaller towns they don't have them. Or if they do, you know, is it...
Well, I mean, I honestly don't think that getting rid of a midnight showing... Because, I mean, the theaters, like, if they wouldn't have showed it at midnight, it would have been packed at 7 o'clock on Friday.
I know. I
and that's that. All that guy wanted to do was find a packed theater.
I know. I understand all that. But it's obviously going to affect it.
Yeah, well, I mean...
You're not going to have costumes anymore. It's going to be... You're not going to be allowed to dress up. Because he's dressed up as a Joker. That's why nobody questioned anything.
Well, yeah, they just thought it was kind of part of the show.
Yeah, and so... I mean, it's awful as movie fans. It's just, it's terrifying. And, but all you can do is, it is move on and try to go on without it. Like, that's how you can recover from 9/11 is you move on and you live life. Like,
yeah.
That's all you can do is you can just show them that you're not stopping us. Like, you know, yeah, what you did was awful, but.
It was awful and senseless, but, you know...
But life goes on.
Right.
Like, you are such a small blip in the radar of everything. And, I mean, like, everybody's... Like, my favorite podcast that I listen to, they were so excited about Batman movie. They're taking a couple weeks off because they can't justify talking about Batman this week just because they don't feel like it's right, which I understand that. Like, I want to move on with stuff. I want to go about, like, I don't want him affecting my life, you know, like, and
yeah, and I don't think it's unfair to say that it stains that movie, because the movie was just, it was the event that brought everyone together, and I didn't enjoy Batman any less because of something terrible that happened, yeah. You know, in a different part of the country. I mean, it's just
I went at 6:15 on a Sunday night to a packed theater.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of, like, people did go, and like I said, I'm not saying if you're scared to go to the theater, you're a pussy, because I understand it. That's a natural human, like,
yeah.
I understand not going, and, but it's just a terrible, terrible thing. And I mean, even we changed our show a little bit this week. We were gonna give a couple villain lists, and Ryan was gonna do villains you root for.
Yeah.
I was gonna do what movie villains would be most frightening in, like, a real-life scenario.
This is the kind that's
the
most frightening.
This is the kind of guy that's most frightening, and he didn't come from a movie. So, yeah, we don't need to talk about that. This,
yeah.
So even we altered a little bit, but it's an awful thing. I mean, I don't have to...
Yeah, I think, you know, we've kind of set our piece on it. I'm sure everybody's...
We could not talk about it because we are a movie podcast, but I didn't want
to... It would have been disingenuous to just kind of pretend that it didn't happen.
And we probably talked about it too long, but I don't want to just breeze over it. So we're sorry to start the show on such a note like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll get back on track here a little bit.
I'm sure I'll make a fart joke eventually.
Yeah. We'll talk about Michael Fassbender's dick, which we hadn't done in weeks.
Yeah.
But so I guess I just did. Do we do have some numbers that we want to go over?
Yeah. Dark Knight for the weekend came in at 160, just under 161 million for the weekend. Gives it the highest opening for a 2D movie. Gives it. It's Friday was, I think, 76 million, highest opening for a 2D movie, highest Friday for a 2D movie. So, like, I expected 190. I thought it would be in the 190.
And we were both pretty solid that it would be up there.
Some projections had 214. I didn't think it'd get that high. But I think realistic expectations were 180 to 195. So, yeah, it's lower than that. But it's understandable. Like, it didn't take as hard of a hit as people would think. Like it I'm not gonna say it wasn't affected, because it definitely was, but I mean, it still
made a lot of money. It'll still continue to make money. People will go back to the theaters and see it.
We both saw it,
yeah, which is rare.
Yeah, had a little differing opinions on it, but
yeah, for instead, more on that
yeah
you can...
instead of bringing the episode down on that, we're putting up a bonus episode this week where everybody that has a podcast is putting up a Dark Knight Rises episode. But if you want to hear me and Ryan talk about it, we're doing a Dark Knight Rises episode, so...
Bat Talk with Ryan and Dave.
Yeah. So it'll be on the, it'll be on moviesonup.com.
I don't know when.
Or in the iTunes store. It'll be up this week.
Yeah, definitely this week. I don't know if it'll be up at the same time or this episode goes up.
Yeah, so we talked about it. Very spoiler heavy, so if you've seen it and want to hear what we think, listen to that.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, Dave's exactly right.
Yeah.
Don't
We spoiled the hell out of everything. But as far as the rest of the box office, Ice Age 4... big hit, dropped 56% down to 20 million for second place. Spider-Man Till It, just under 11 million in third spot. It's up to 228 million now. Ted, another 10 million. It's at 180. And then Brave was in fifth with another 6 million. So it's at the 208 million mark. And then Magic Mike's over 100, so I mean, there's some movies doing well this year. So
yeah, definitely. I think it has been a really good summer, and I think it'll continue to be that way, especially once, you know, kind of a Dark Knight really gets its head of steam going. Once it you know, really just kind of catches fire and gets on going. Yeah.
I wish there was a button I could hit for when I shake head. Yeah, I'm
gonna make it's probably it won't be so much a button. I'll add it in later, but it'll just be like you. Yeah. It'll be very subtle, but fans of the podcast will be able to figure it out. The that Dave was giving before, the disapproving sigh, was because we were going to talk about Catching Fire, and I made the somewhat ham-handed attempt to segue. Got some more, lots of news about Hunger Games. Catching Fire added some more cast. Mockingjay might be looking for a director. Amanda Plummer, Melissa Leo, and Monk have all joined the cast of Catching Fire, and Sam Coughlin looks like he's close to signing on for that Finnick role, which we talked a little bit about before.
Yeah, it was a lot of big names thrown out for Finnick before. This guy, I guess he was the highlight of the Pirates of the Caribbean 4, and he was in Snow White and the Huntsman, so I've never seen a Mac, but
no, I never have either.
I mean, it's a cool role. The cast, they're getting good. The cast is good.
Yeah, I mean, Melissa Leo, Tony.
Melissa Leo's awesome. Yeah. Amanda Plummer, like, and the parts they're casting him for, it's like, oh yeah, like, I see that. Like Jenna Malone, like, oh, I can see that. So
yeah, so good for them. That looks like it's a plus. Studio maybe doing a minus here. They're trying to go so fast with the Mockingjay movies now that are going to be two. They're going so fast that Sir Francis Lawrence, not sure if he'll have time to direct him. It just sounds like he should be a knight with that name.
Yeah, no, he should be a sir, because Catching Fire hasn't started filming yet.
No.
It doesn't start filming till September for a November 2013 release. Well, they want to get Mockingjay, they want to get the wheels rolling on that.
And rightfully so.
Because they want to do
Thanksgiving of 2014 and 15.
2015. They want the next three Thanksgivings to be Mocking or be Catching Fire movies, because if you look at how long it took the Twilight movies,
yeah,
they're losing steam.
Can I ask this though? Why in God's name, especially after, you know, it's been done, why not just like gang do these? Like, I understand people have got some other commitments or whatever, but like for somebody like Jennifer Lawrence, I mean, this is your commitment. Everybody knows that. If they want you, they're going to have to work around
it. For something
your shit.
Like Hunger Games, I understand doing that one, because it could not do well. You don't know that you're going to get the rest of the series.
Well, no, sure, but I'm saying at this point
Fire,
now.
But for Catching Fire, Mockingjay, and what's crazy, it's silly you bring that up, because they're not even committing to doing Mockingjay, the two Mockingjays together.
Mm-hmm.
They might do two separate directors.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't ruled out doing a director for each part of Mockingjay.
Which just seems, it seems nuts, and it seems like it'd be a good way to keep costs down if you just, you know, film everything. I mean, you know, Peter Jackson did his, I mean, he knew that they were going to make all three Lord of the Rings books, but he just did it all at once. And I don't know what kind of time takes place between any of these books, because I didn't read them. But I'm guessing not a lot.
No, not much.
Not that you would have to wait X amount of time, but that would be a way to make sure that A, you know, you get all your directors. B, you make sure that the movies kind of maintain a similar tone, being that they're all, you know, shot the same time. You don't have to worry about you know, scheduling conflicts. You just say, listen, like, this is a giant-ass movie.
You're giving a two-year chunk of your time.
Yeah, if you can find a bigger franchise to be a part of, God bless you. Go ahead. But if not, you know, jump on board. We're going to get all this done, and then we can release them, you know, within a year of each other, and they won't have to worry about rushing to put something out just because they've stopped filming on one, and now they only have, you know, 11 months to do the next one.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just weird. Like, it was weird that they let Gary Ross go, and now you might have four directors for all four movies, which...
Yeah, we'll have to see how that works out. You'd think they would just get one guy and he would become the president of Hunger Games.
Or the butler.
In this case, James Marsden is the president. He replaces Matthew McConaughey as John F. Kennedy in the movie The Butler, which is a Forrest Whitaker joint where he plays a real-life butler that served 8 presidents during his time at the White House. Which presidents, you might ask? Well, let me give you a couple of them. Alan Rickman is going to play Ronald Reagan. John Cusack is Tricky Dick Nixon. Robin Williams as Dwight Eisenhower. And Liam Neeson as Lyndon Johnson.
Two Americans.
Well,
3 if you count Marsden. Yeah, and it's funny because Robin Williams has another movie where I believe he's playing Eisenhower. No, I'm being an idiot because Robin Williams played Teddy Roosevelt in the Night at the Museum movies.
Oh,
the movie I'm thinking about, okay, where I thought he was playing Dwight D. Eisenhower is actually
Good Morning Vietnam.
Bill Murray playing Franklin D. Roosevelt.
Oh, well,
so I was way off there.
Yeah, well, I mean, at least you had the Roosevelt thread going.
They're presidents.
That's true too.
So
and both Bill Murray and Robin Williams are actors.
Yes.
So yeah, I think we're good there. Lena Headey and Jared Harris to travel to the Mortal Instruments, the City of Bones, joining Lily Collins in this another adaptation of a teen-ish novel book. This one due in theaters August 2013.
It's a teen young reader series. Another one like hoping to cash in on, you know, be that next one. But this one's, it's interesting. Like,
Lena Headey.
She's good. I like Lily Collins. Like, the cast is coming up well. It's a cool idea for a book. I haven't read them. I've read pieces of each of them. It's a 6-part series.
How much like The Boxcar Children is it?
It's not.
Oh. Well, I'm probably not interested then.
No, it's...
That's about where my young teen novel reading experience begins and ends.
This girl, Lily Collins, realizes she's half angel and has to protect the world from demons.
Huh.
But it's... They started right off the bat with... like, they learned... They're calling it Mortal Instruments, City of Bones.
Doesn't sound like a teen thing.
Well, the books are City of Bones, City of Ashes, City of Glass, City of Fallen Souls, City of Princes. I don't know. There's like 6 books. I think only 5 are out right now. But like Hunger Games, Twilight. Twilight was Twilight, and then the Twilight Saga.
Yeah.
And then now Hunger Games, and the Hunger Games. I don't know if it's Saga or whatever. But yeah, so I mean, they're going right off the bat, the Mortal Instruments. So...
Yeah, so I mean, that'll, I guess, take away some of the confusion. The kids are going to know. It's the parents that are going to be confused and not give a shit. Johnny Depp gives a shit. We kind of talked a little bit about Wes Anderson trying to put together his...
Why do you not read that headline how I have it?
Because it wasn't that good.
Johnny
Depp says yes to Wes.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It's no better, no worse than any of your segues.
Yeah, it kind of is.
But we mentioned last week that Wes Anderson wanted Johnny Depp to star in his next one, The Grand Budapest Hotel.
With a bunch of people.
Yeah, Johnny Depp said yes.
Was one of the few that hadn't been involved with Wes Anderson before. Now we're just waiting on...
Which is interesting.
Mrs. Potts.
What's Johnny Depp done outside of Tim Burton and outside
Gore Verbinski?
And outside of Verbinski, other than The Tourist?
Lately. Yeah, lately I'm not...
Not much.
Probably. Well, he doesn't have to. Shit.
No, I understand that, but like this
he
is
he swims
such,
in his mountain of money from those
this
films.
This is such a departure from those two.
I'm going to read this one because I wrote this, and you can tell because it's awesome. 2 new additions to the RoboCop franchise. Half good actor, half bad actor. I'll let you figure out which is which. Jackie Earle Haley has been confirmed to be in the flick. Jay Baruchel is kind of circling... one of the final lead roles in the film.
I like Jay Baruchel.
I thought you didn't like him. No, I thought you've said on this podcast you don't like
him. No, I said he was the weakest part of Goon despite writing it, like co-writing it.
Yeah, I still thought you said he was.
No, I like him for the most part.
All right, fair enough.
Jackie Earle Haley, he seemed to be everywhere there for a while and then disappeared, so it's cool to see him back because he's good. He's good.
He kind of disappeared after that Nightmare on Elm Street, didn't he?
Yeah, because that was, you know, he was riding high off the Oscar nomination for, was that, Little Children?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, kind of broke out with Rorschach in Watchmen.
Yeah.
And then, like, Nightmare on Elm Street was his, like, hey, it's Jackie Earl Haley. And then he was on that show on Fox for a little bit.
I don't even know what show.
Human Target. And he just hasn't been doing a lot of movies. And now, well, RoboCop. Yeah. This cast is awesome, though.
It does. I mean, it sounds...
We talk about it so much.
I know. I shit-talked this movie when we first started talking about it, but I've done, like, a complete 180 now. Like, I'm down with RoboCop. I'm not afraid to admit it. I'm unabashed in my love for RoboCop. And it's good to see Jackie Earl Haley is coming back to us. Andrew Stanton trying to come back to us as he begins work on Finding Nemo 2.
Yeah, he kind of lost himself with John Carter. Lost a lot of money. So let's find Nemo again. He's always teased that he wouldn't come back to Nemo until he had a good idea for his story. If the story's just Nemo looking for his dad, I really hope it's not that simple.
Speaking of Night at the Museum, which we did a little bit when you went back to Robin Williams. I've skipped. Don't give me that fucking look.
Oh, I was wondering how you were getting...
I'm driving the ship. I can do whatever I want.
I was trying to make out the segue in my head.
You'll get there once you just listen and don't try and think that I'm going to go in a logical order the way that we put it on the outline, because I'm not beholden to this paper. I'll do what I want. Whatever, motherfucker. So speaking of Night at the Museum, Jonah Hill and Ben Stiller say aloha to a new project which will be directed by Sean Levy of the aforementioned Night at the Museum. It's going to be written by Nick Stoller, who wrote Forgetting Sarah Marshall and Get Him to the Greek, the Russell Brand canon.
Yeah, which is... Nick Stoller wrote and directed those.
Yeah. So he's not directing this.
Yeah, I know. Sean, that's a weird combo. Like, Jonah Hill, Ben Stiller makes sense because, you know, they got The Watch together.
Right, yeah.
I believe Jonah Hill showed up in one of the Night at the Museums.
Probably.
I think as a security guard. But that's just... I like Nick Stoller. I like what he's written.
I didn't see Get Him to the Greek, but I did like Forgetting Sarah Marshall quite a bit. More than I thought I was going to.
I enjoyed them both. I liked them both a lot. And I love Jonah Hill, so...
Yeah.
Even though I don't like Ben Stiller, I'll see anything with Jonah Hill, really.
Well, yeah, I think we might talk a little bit about more of a Jonah Hill, Ben Stiller movie later on. You know, we kind of... The Watch, yeah. That.
Watch out for... Oh, you ruined that.
No, it's okay. You just do it. Nobody will remember that you said that by the time we get to talking about that movie, so you can hit him with it again.
Watch out for that.
Oh, I thought you meant you were going to do it at the end of the podcast, but that's fine.
All right.
We'll do it at the end, too. Fuck it. Something else they're doing again. X-Men First Class 2. Second class. Second period. I don't know. They're going to try and shoot next spring, once Jennifer Lawrence is done catching fire. They're trying to have that movie come out in July of 2014. Supposedly, it's going to be more ambitious, more mythic than the first one, says the screenwriter Simone Gimberg.
I'm interested to see where they go with it. I hope they distance themselves from... That was my problem with the Hugh Jackman cameo in the first one.
I liked it. I thought it was one of the better cameos I'd seen.
I didn't, because they essentially did for X-Men what the Star Trek reboot did for Star Trek, where you're establishing a new universe, where you're kind of establishing your own timeline. And I think bringing Hugh Jackman in kind of fucked that idea up.
I don't know. I mean, like, I guess... With Logan's ability to, you know, kind of heal and be around for a long time, sort of not age, I think he could have been, you know, in that timeline. Now, do you commit yourself to, if you want to have Wolverine down the road, does it have to be Hugh Jackman? Well, maybe, but he's already playing the shit out of Wolverine. I think he's got that locked down.
Yeah, I didn't like that, but I'll see the second one.
Yeah, no, the first one was a good movie.
I thought it was good.
Yeah, it was well done. So... Take a look at that. I'm sure that'll be, when that movie comes out, it'll be full of neckbeards, as my buddy likes to call nerds, people that are into nerdy pursuits. This movie clearly will be full of neckbeards, and that is the World of Warcraft movie. Thought Sam Raimi was going to be involved. Apparently he's not, and he kind of cashed his chips in on this one a long time ago, now finding out.
Sam Raimi's been, he was attached in like 2009 to it.
When World of Warcraft was, like, really relevant.
Yeah, when it was relevant, they got Sam Raimi, and it seemed like they were closer than ever to making a movie. And then a year and a half ago, we started making Oz the Great and Powerful. And just this past week, they asked him about World of Warcraft. He said, oh, no, I had to go make Oz. They needed to move on with World of Warcraft and get it made without me.
Before the server shut down, and so it's not even a game anymore.
He made it sound like... they had to move on and get a director and get into production. Nothing has happened. And he said this happened when he took Oz. That's a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Nothing has been
happened. Needed to move on. They just didn't.
Yeah. So that was interesting, I thought.
We'll see. We'll see what happens with that one. I'm sure we'll all be waiting with bated breaths and exclamation points over our heads. Emil Hirsch is in talks to join Marky Mark, John Carter, and Ben Foster in Peter Berg's Lone Survivor about an actual Navy SEAL mission that kind of went all to shit. And as the title might indicate, there is only one of the Navy SEALs that makes it out.
It's Marky Mark.
I was going to say, I don't think it's going to be John Carter.
But
interestingly enough, Peter Berg kind of torpedoed Battleship,
but
reunited.
I think Peter Berg can be a good director. Hopefully this is him being a good director.
Yeah.
I love Ben Foster. Ben Foster should be a bigger movie star. I like Navy SEALs.
Longtime producer Rick Marshall says that Jurassic Park 4 should be in theaters within 2 years.
It won't.
Well, this is just producer speak for, hey, guys, remember Jurassic Park 4? That we're going to do that.
They're not.
Just putting the name out again. Somebody asked him about it. I believe it was at Comic-Con. Kind of what the status of that project was. And I guess the closest thing he could say was there is a status on it. It's coming. Just have to wait and see.
Like, here's the thing with that. Do you start over?
No, they're not going to. It's going to be a sequel. It's not a reboot. It's not a prequel. It is a straight up sequel. That did come out of the article that I read. Now, I mean, that's what they're saying now. The movie hasn't been written, so could it change completely by the time it does get to film? Yeah, absolutely. One thing that I don't think is going to change is that Steven Spielberg will not be directing it. He is directing Robopocalypse. He'd like to have Thor star in that film, which is going to be adapted from which is being written by Drew Goddard, adapted from a newer novel written by Daniel H. Wilson.
Hemsworth's going to have an awesome career. Chris is. Liam, I don't think so much, but Chris is already.
There's a third one now, too.
Yeah, he's actually the older one.
Yeah, they're like Mogwais.
Yeah, but the older one is coming over here now. But Chris Hemsworth is going to have. You figure they're already making a Snow White sequel. He's got Thor. He's got Avengers. And this Robopocalypse thing will be huge because Spielberg is big. So, I mean, he's doing well for himself.
Yeah, I don't think that kid's going to have to worry about eating anytime soon. So, good for him. The movie looks cool, but, you know, it doesn't sound like it's anything different from, you know, what we've kind of seen before with, robots gone bad. I mean, you can look at Terminator. You can look at iRobot. Shit like that. But it's just Steven Spielberg's version of that. So we'll see. With Thor, that could be all right. This movie's not going to be all right. We talked a little bit about it last week, and it's, reaching
it's
around.
It's official now, yeah.
Yeah, it's officially a bad idea. Breck Eisner must be crazy. See what I did there? He directed The Crazies. Yeah, well, that was just a little bonus for you. He's signed on to direct, and I pulled this directly from the press release, the gritty actioneer introducing the character of Lucas Armstrong and the life or death consequences he will face after undergoing a transformation granting him superhuman abilities. If you can't figure out by that mound of shite, it's the Stretch Armstrong movie.
Who cares?
Don't know. Apparently Breck Eisner cares, but whatever. Like, I'm sure they're going to pay him. So, everybody's got to eat. Knock yourself out. But did you know Stretch Armstrong's first name was Lucas?
Didn't care.
No, I didn't care either. But now we all know something more. So at the very least, you can take that away from this podcast. Kenneth Branagh adding himself into his new Jack Ryan reboot, which he's directing. Jack Ryan, the Tom Clancy guy that was in Some of All Fears, Harrison Ford.
Red October.
Yeah, played by Harrison Ford and
Ben Affleck.
Yeah,
yeah.
A couple of different people. Chris Pine is going to be the new,
okay.
Yeah, in this new one by Mr. Branagh. He's put himself in to be the villain. So.
The villain role, which I like Kenneth Branagh as an actor. I think he's a cool director. It's interesting director choice for Jack Ryan, but I'll see it.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a cool character. It's,
yeah.
This character's due for it. I mean, he was never a big, I don't know, like, he's due for it.
I think maybe in the movies he was never quite as big, but he's been kicking ass in the books for a long time.
Yeah.
Not that I read that. My dad reads those. Like, Jack Ryan's like his dude. So not that my dad listens to the podcast, but if he did, that would be one thing that he might be kind of excited about. If my sister listened to this podcast, she'd be excited about Harry Potter.
How's your sister doing, by the way?
She's doing well.
All right.
She still likes Harry Potter. Watched that Woman in Black movie several times because of Senior Radcliffe. He's now entering the friend zone with Zoe Kitan in The F Word, which will be directed by Michael Dowse, the guy that did Goon, and Take Me Home Tonight.
Yeah, it's
both sides of the coin on that one.
It's a comedy where he's kind of—I don't even know if it's a comedy, but Zoe Kitan, she's about.
We're gonna say comedy.
Yeah, Zoe Kitan's about to blow up. This week's Ruby Sparks, she steals the show, I guess. So that'll be interesting. I like Michael Dowse. I didn't like Take Me Home Tonight, but Goon I thought was cool. So
yeah,
I'll see what he does next.
I think it'd be interesting to see. I hope it's a bit of a comedy because, I mean, like...
I'd like to see Radcliffe do something...
Exactly. He's been...
Not today.
...kind of serious.
I'd like to see him in present day.
Oh,
not
yeah.
Not Wizard, in like a real world.
I was going to ask, does Harry Potter... Like, is that a period piece?
No,
or
it's
that
not.
Like
the real... the But it's in that wizardy world.
I don't care.
Like, the real world stuff is present day, but they don't spend a lot of time there.
And who would want to? Because present is just so boring.
I really like the Harry Potter movies.
All right. That's cool. I haven't seen any of them. I might like them if I watched them, but I'm just too big
of
a dick
now
to watch
them. You should watch them all one day.
I think, you know, two of you could probably sit down and watch them, but I don't think that that I'd want to have very much to do with that. Jessica Biel didn't want a damn thing to do with Wolverine. She was in talks to be in it last week. This week, fuck no. She's going to be replaced by, I'm going to butcher this,
Svetlana
Konokova.
She's
from Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. Has
slivers into
slivers. Oh, okay, all right.
In the role of the Viper.
Okay, yeah. Slither is the word. It's
I
not
put sliver.
Yes, which is why I didn't think that made a goddamn bit of sense. But if you would have said slithered in, then I would have said, ah, well done, Dave. But now I won't. I'll just mock you openly.
Sliver is in the Sharon Stone vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
With Stevie Baldwin?
Yeah. It wasn't Adam. It wasn't Alec.
I think
it wasn't Billy. We'll say
it. Or Danny. It might have been Danny.
Get at us at Movies on Up. Tell us which Baldwin was in Sliver because we need to know. Inquiring minds want to know. Yeah, that's all from that story. Jessica Biel just doesn't want to be in the Wolverine, and that's fine. I'm sure this Russian chick will be just fine. To your point, I'm surprised they didn't hire an Asian actress.
Not for the Viper.
Why not? They hired Asians for everything else.
Wouldn't for the right? Legitimate Asian roles.
I don't know. Is the Viper not legitimately Asian? Could she not be legitimately Asian? Why not, Dave? Why are you such a racist?
So you're saying Lucy Liu should play her?
No. I'm just saying they could have found any Asian actress to maybe play a character that may or may not be Asian. I'm not sure. Guy, it's definitely not Asian. He's South African. He's Neil Blomkamp. His next movie, after Elysium, which we talked a little bit about during a Comic-Con episode. You should probably check that out if you're into comics and if you haven't listened to it already. His next movie is going to be the sci-fi comedy Chappie. That'll be next up for him.
Yeah, he wrote it about the same time as District 9. He sounds like it's ready to go. He sounds like out of necessity it'll be his next one because there's stuff he wants to do, but this one's good to go.
It's
so.
It's written,
yeah,
so yeah.
So he'll probably do this one next.
Which is fine. I think we're both pretty well in the bag for that guy. Excited about Elysium. He's one of the couple directors that are kind of new school, and the things they tend to do, you know, they write their own stuff, and it looks cool. So I'm interested to see, you know, what it might turn out. We mentioned before Gary Ross off the Hunger Games sequels. What is he doing? He may escape to Neverland as he's eyeing the director's chair for Peter and the Starcatchers, which I assume is a movie about Peter Pan.
It's a Peter Pan sequel or prequel.
See.
Prequel, yeah.
Prequel
so,
to Peter Pan.
I love it's how he meets the Lost Boys and stuff. So,
is Rufio going to be in the movie?
Maybe
he can be because he hasn't been killed yet.
Yeah, I love Peter Pan, so I'm on board for it. Like, I love Peter Pan, so
we'll move right along. Another guy you like, Alan Tudyk, a guy I like, Ed O'Neill, as well as Mindy Kaling, Adam Carolla, Horatio Sanz, and Dennis Haysbert, all have been announced as part of the voice cast for Wreck-It Ralph, which, I mean, that movie looks like it'd be awesome. It's the 8-bit movie where
John C. Reilly
decides he doesn't want to be a bad guy in his video game anymore. So if you haven't seen the trailer for that, check it out.
It comes out in November this year?
I think so. Yeah. Looks awesome. Definitely a movie that children of the late 80s, early 90s will definitely dig all the video game characters within. People about that same age seem to like The Hangover for whatever reason. Apparently Mike Epps was in the second one, and he'll be back for the third one.
I don't remember him in the second one, but I didn't pay all that much attention. He's not needed in the third one. This is what I hate about these kind of sequels, where you take these bit parts, and it's like, oh, we need to bring them back. Like bringing Bronson Pinchot back for Beverly Hills Cop 3. It's just like these bit parts, like who cares, just move on.
I thought you were going to tell me Balky was in The Hangover 2.
No, I remember.
You could
so,
have, and I don't believe
so
it.
Little
okay,
of The
fine.
Hangover 2.
Were you hungover?
No, I just didn't care.
That's fine. Amy Adams steps into David O. Russell's American Bullshit. Jeremy Renner also in talks to replace Christian Bale.
I like David O. Russell. Jeremy Renner, I think, will be cool.
I like him more than Christian Bale.
I like Christian Bale.
Still?
Well, he hasn't done anything to me.
No, I'm just
saying. He's been good in the Batman movies. Yeah. He was good in The Fighter. What's Christian Bale done to you?
He was not good in the Batman movies. I thought he was poor. Of the main cast, I thought he was the worst by far. Fighter, he was good. Tons of credit for that, and loved him in The Fighter. But, like Marky Mark, too. That helps. Do we want to talk more about this David O. Russell joint?
No, I think we kind of got off. Go on. I'm angry right now.
Go ahead and be angry. I don't give a shit. Neil Moretz setting up a comedic present day stalkerish tale take on Sleeping Beauty.
So a dude wakes up Sleeping Beauty, but he has no interest in her. So she falls in love with him and then stalks him. So basically, it sounds like All About Steve, that Sandra Bullock joint starring Bradley Cooper from a few years ago. Like, I don't understand how this is a good idea.
I like the fact that, you're taking something that people are familiar with, Sleeping Beauty, and trying to say, okay, this is still going to be Sleeping Beauty, but it's going to be different.
It's going to be present day, and it's going to be all about Steve.
Well, okay. I like the fact that if they're going to take something, a story that we've already heard, at least they're not going to regurgitate the same damn thing, which is what we tend to get a lot of, and you know what? Fuck it. I'll do it right now. Jumanji, reboot in the works. It's just going to be Jumanji again. What's going to be different?
Do people even care about the board? Did people even care about the board game when the movie came out in 95?
I think it probably sold a couple units, but I mean.
But this one makes sense because the effects are so much better now. And the last one didn't cost much and made a decent amount of money.
Well, it's a family movie. I'm sure it'll still make money.
You
and
put
that's
out a family live-action movie that looks remotely okay. If you make it cheap enough, you're going to make money.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's what they're thinking about. Movie that made quite a bit of money, made your list, one of your favorite movie of the year, 21 Jump Street. Sequel, 22 Jump Street, looking like it could be filming as early as this fall.
I hope so. They got it. They're trying to get it going as quick as possible to, cash in on Channing Tatum, who's bankable now.
Still be around, and I think Jonah Hill will probably even
Jonah
be
Hill's,
more.
You know, he'll
so
probably
he
get more
point.
Buzz once Wolf of Wall Street comes out. So, yes, make it, please.
Was The Rock in 21 Jump Street?
No, he was not.
Probably should have been. According to The Rock, he probably should have been. Also, according to The Rock, he's going to be Lobo.
There were rumors that. They were talking to him about playing Lobo in the live-action movie. Somebody on Twitter straight up asked him, and he basically just said, yeah, we're talking about it. I don't think a live-action Lobo movie works. Like, Lobo was one of my favorite comics growing up. I don't think a live-action movie works, but The Rock's not bad casting.
If it's going to work, it'll have to work with The Rock. We talked a little bit about Sam Raimi jumping ship from World of Warcraft to do Oz, the Great and the Powerful. That also happens to be the first trailer that we're going to talk about this week. We finally did get a trailer for that movie. It came out a couple days ago.
It was before Batman also.
Was it?
For me, it was.
I don't remember. You know what? I don't think it was before Batman for me, because I think the first time I saw it was when I sat down on Sunday to watch all these. But I mean, I thought it was pretty neat.
It looks cool. I don't know that that means I'm interested in the movie. Like, it looks magical. It looks...
I think I'm a lot more interested in this movie than I would be in seeing The Wizard of Oz.
A remake of The Wizard of Oz?
No. The original.
I've never seen it. Or a remake, she's whatever. She's hot, though. But I like James Franco.
Judy Garland?
Yeah, so hot.
You a creeper.
I like Raimi, but I don't care about Oz. I mean, maybe it's because I haven't seen the original. I'm familiar with the story. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I think it looks cool. It'll be interesting to see Raimi's take on the City of Oz, and the flying monkeys look cool.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. Trailer that was in front of The Dark Knight. There were two. There was, I got the Muscle Crow one.
I got the Russell Crowe in the theater, but the Kevin Costner. I watched was online.
I only watched that one, but I mean everything else was pretty much the same about, and the shots were the same. And that is, of course, the trailer for Zack Snyder's Man of Steel. Dave doesn't like it.
You think it's a good teaser? I
do. I like it a lot.
I don't think it's a great teaser because it really doesn't. It doesn't tease anything for me.
Like it tells you.
It tells me that this one's gonna be dark. This is gonna be gritty.
Yeah.
It's not going to be your fun, which, okay.
It says, hey, man, there's a new Superman movie coming out. It's going to be from this guy that directed Watchmen and 300. It's produced by this guy that just directed the movie you're about to see.
I mean,
get ready, nerds. Here it comes.
It's similar. If you go back and watch the first Batman Begins teaser, it is very similar.
Yeah, you're right. Like a bearded.
Like, it's extremely similar, but it didn't do anything for me. Like, it didn't make me more excited about it.
I think it
really didn't show me. I understand it showed me.
Yeah, but I mean, it was so different from what I was expecting from Zack Snyder. It was like, oh, okay, this isn't going to be like 300. Or at least in the trailer, there's no hint of an over-stylized, like, you know, cliche, slow-mo ridden movie.
It didn't look like a Zack Snyder movie.
Exactly.
But I need to
Which
see
is what
more.
Excited me.
Yeah. See, I need a full trailer. I'm apprehensive about the movie. The teaser didn't change that. It didn't give me anything to change my mind.
It slightly did reassure me that it could be kind of cool. Cosmopolis also has a trailer that had come out this week, and that's Robert Pattinson. It's hard to explain the plot of this movie. Like, he's got a bunch of money, and then he's riding around trying to get a haircut, I think, is why he's riding around this limo.
Something like that. Loses
all his money.
Apparently Pattinson's really good in it.
Yeah.
Like, this movie wowed at Sundance. Like, apparently he's really good in it.
I don't know. Like, I want to see it. I want to say that, you know, it'll be good, but I'm not sure that I'm willing to fully commit to it. I am 100% willing to commit to Sleepwalk With Me. It's Mike Birbiglia.
I love Mike Birbiglia.
Yeah, I think we probably drooled all over him, you know, when we first started talking about this movie. But there's a trailer up now. If you're not really familiar, you know, kind of with the one-man show, definitely check out the trailer. It looks awesome.
Yeah, it's gonna be good.
Really funny. Kind of a cute movie. Not so cute is The Bachelorette, which is sort of a dark... It's a Christopher Nolan version of Bridesmaids.
It's a gritty Bridesmaids.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Kristen Dunst,
Lizzie Kaplan,
Isla Fisher, and Lizzie Kaplan being bridesmaids for Rebel Wilson.
Yeah.
I just...
With an Adam Scott, so it's like half the cast to party down.
Yeah. It's supposed to be, like, really kind of dark.
Yeah.
It doesn't hold any... Not dark, but, like, just doesn't hold anything back. Like, it's not a toned-down bridesmaid. If anything, I guess what... It's a review I read that said Bridesmaid is a toned-down this movie.
Yeah, I think, like, these girls don't particularly care for the bride that they're going to be. So they're not necessarily fighting for her attention. They just hate the girl and just, I don't know, just being bitches. So just don't have bridesmaids because they're going to fuck your wedding up somehow.
Yeah.
So that's what you can take away from that. It's two things you learn from this podcast. A third thing you learn is there's a Green Band trailer for VHS.
Still looks intriguing to me.
Yeah, no, I think the movie's going to be awesome. I don't know that we needed a Green Band. Why the fuck do we get a Green Band trailer for a movie that's rated R? What's the point?
To show people that aren't 17.
But how the fuck are they going to see the movie anyway?
I don't know.
Right. Well, there's
still looked intriguing.
Yeah, no, there's a Green Band trailer for that.
And it didn't seem like it held much back. Like, there was still a lot.
Yeah, I don't...
Didn't feel much different.
I think there was maybe slightly less blood, but that is, of course, the found footage anthology movie that we talked about a couple weeks ago. Does look awesome. I would say check out the Red Band trailer, just because we also talked about The Master a while back. That is the Scientology movie.
Putting out stuff. It was a teaser,
and now this is a trailer.
This is a flat out trailer
that actually does explain a little bit about what the movie's going to be.
It looks good.
It looks good. I was a little worried about how, you know, it's the Scientology movie where PTA kind of takes a crack at Scientology. And I wasn't sure if he was going to really beat you over the head with it. It doesn't appear from the trailer.
I like Paul Thomas Anderson. I think it looks good.
Yeah. And I think there's Philip Seymour Hoffman and Joaquin Phoenix. They both featured equally kind of in this trailer. So I think that'll be cool. Another movie that kind of looks like it's going to be cool, despite the fact that it is a WWE picture, is The Day.
The trailer looked kind of cool. I don't think I know what the movie's about, but from WWE...
I think it's like The Road.
In a house?
In a house.
Yeah, yeah. That's the impression I got, but you know better than I. Are there wrestlers in it? I looked at the
cast
list.
I didn't
see anybody that...
Dominic Moynihan is about the only person I recognize.
It seems pretty female-driven.
Like, oh, I bet there'll be somebody.
It seems pretty female-heavy, but I looked at the cast list, and I don't recognize any, but it doesn't look bad. The WWE trailer, or the logo, threw me off, but...
Yeah, like, where the fuck did this come from?
It doesn't look bad.
And why isn't it starring Kane? Another movie that does not star Kane... English flick, kind of a heist picture, The Sweeney.
I love British crime drama movies.
Yeah.
And this looks...
I like Guy Ritchie movies.
This looks amazing. I love... This movie is like the kind of movie that I watch the trailer. It's like, oh, they're making this for me. Like, this is what... This is the kind of movie I love.
And Ray Winstone's in it, and he's pretty sweet in the trailer.
Awesome.
So.
Damian Lewis is in it, which you don't get to see him act as his natural British self all that often, and he's kind of cool, so... I think it looks awesome. That's The Sweeney. I think it looks fantastic.
And this last trailer, which we saved for last, we kind of talked a little bit about last week, see if you guys would watch it ahead of time, and that is the trailer for Dinosaur Project. Dave, take it away.
It's a found footage dinosaur horror movie.
It is. It is all of those things.
That's all it is.
And it's on our podcast somehow.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
I wanted.
I don't know
why.
But
you fucking hate found footage. Would you watch this?
But this one makes sense because they're going to the jungle to make a documentary, and then they get eaten by dinosaurs.
Spoiler alert. Jesus.
Probably. So that makes sense why it's found footage. But the effects don't look.
They look shit.
They look
awful. I was about to say this looks like a good Sci-Fi Channel movie, and then I saw the dinosaurs. I was like, Jesus Christ, even the Sci-Fi Channel will spend like $75 on some Koreans with a laptop.
Just watch the trailer.
Yeah, it's only like 2.5 minutes, so I mean,
thought it was funny. I got joy out of watching the trailer. So
yeah, you might get joy, but just fuck, it doesn't look good at all, I'll tell you that much. Wide release. This week, The Watch, I think it looks kind of funny. I might see it.
I think it looks funny. I like Jonah Hill. I like Vince Vaughn at times, and he hasn't really done anything in a while, it seems.
Well,
am I off base?
I don't think he's, like, I mean, you know, there was a time when
Couples
he was,
Retreat is the last
Couples
thing.
Retreat.
Did I miss something?
But I don't think so. I mean, there was, you know, a time when he, Wedding Crashers and the breakup when he was doing headlining a lot of movies. I think Dodgeball was right around that time too. But yeah, it does seem like he's kind of stepped it back and done some smaller things since then. He did that Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
And like late 90s, Vince Vaughn was one of my favorite actors. Like Clay Pigeons, Return to Paradise. Fuck, those movies are so good. And like even like at the turn, like I watched Jurassic Park 2 only because he was in it. He had all these like indie movies, like the Locusts, and there's a Lone Dry Place. Like he did really good indie movies, and then mid 2000s he just turned into this. I'm gonna do the same thing.
He had to pay for all
those
indie movies he did. Also in wide release, and you're gonna have to make a decision here, my friend.
Oh yeah, the dilemma. I forgot the dilemma. My bad.
Yeah, but as I was saying before, you're gonna have to make a decision. You can either see The Watch or Step Up Revolution.
It doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't.
It looks really, really bad.
Yes.
Which is
Coming from a guy who likes the Step Up movies,
I like the first two. I love the first two. The first two are cool. This one just looks. This one looks dumb.
It looks. I'm not going to talk about this anymore. Limited release. We talked about Ruby Sparks. That's the movie about where the novelist creates a chick for him to fall in love with. He writes her into reality.
Yeah.
So that sounds kind of cool. Killer Joe finally comes out in limited release. And I checked. It is coming out at NC-17. Apparently, like the climax is kind of graphic. So that might be where the movie picked up as NC-17. Searching for Sugar Man, IYY, and Clown with a K.
Clown, I've heard a lot of good things about. Apparently, it's hilarious. It's a foreign comedy, yeah. But I don't know. Watch 30 million.
That's tough because, like, normally I would say that maybe it would do all right. But I think there's some people that maybe didn't see Dark Knight last weekend that
it's still gonna be. It's not gonna be.
Oh no,
Dark Knight's gonna be number one.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I think Dark Knight is gonna probably make more money this weekend than it would have, you know, in some other circuit if people had, you know, maybe more had gone to see it this past one. So $30 million for the watch. I'm gonna take under.
I'm going over.
Okay.
I'm going over. I think it's a comedy.
Yeah.
I think people that do want to go to the movies might just want that escape.
Yeah.
So I think it'll do well. I think it'll surpass 30 decently.
I'm
well
thinking too. Maybe 26, 27.
I thought you would go there. I'm thinking 45-ish.
Wow. Well, okay. We're pretty far apart on that one. But yeah, we'll have to see. Something else we're not far apart on. We've got two blanks for our watch this section, so... Don't watch anything.
Well, here's the light bulb going on. Yeah. Was the Peter Pan live action that came out? I was like, 2004 maybe, or it might have been earlier than that. It starred Jeremy Sumpter. Really, really fucking good. Like, it was a good Peter Pan movie. It came out on Christmas. It kind of went under the radar. It kind of got lost. Like, it's a really fucking good Peter Pan adaptation. It's really good. And then Clay Pigeons and Return to Paradise. Two Vince Vaughn joints that both came out in like 98, 99. Fantastic movies that are kind of underrated. So that's my watch it nows.
Any of them streaming? Or you have no idea? Just pull them right out of your ass.
I just pulled them out of my ass. I have no idea.
Okay. This next movie, I'm gonna take a winding path to get there. There was also a trailer came out this week for a documentary called Detropia, which is about kind of Detroit sucking. And they follow like a waitress and some scrap collectors. To see what their life is like in Detroit. It won an award at Sundance for top editing in the documentary genre. It's by Rachel Grady and Heidi Ewing, the two that brought us Jesus Camp, which is my watch for the week. It was streaming for a long time. It's not anymore. You're going to have to...
Really fucking good documentary.
It's a really frightening documentary.
It's terrifying, but it's so fucking good.
Yeah, I don't want to mention too much about it. It's about... Exactly what it sounds like. It's about a religious camp that that these kids go to.
It's terrifying.
Yes, watch it. And if you have small children, please watch it and act accordingly. So that's it for me this week. Watch Jesus Camp, and if you get a chance, watch the trailer for Detropia too, because it looks kind of interesting, and these two can do a hell of a documentary, so I've got reason to believe that Detropia will be good. Jesus Camp was awesome. It was nominated for an Academy Award back when it came out, so I'm not the only one. Dave and I aren't the only ones that like this movie. If you like it, and if you've seen it, and you'd like to tell us all about it, please do so. You can get us on the Twitter, at MoviesOnUp. You can get to us at MoviesOnUp.com. You can also link to our Facebook page from that website.
Like our Facebook page.
Yeah,
follow us on Twitter. Give us an iTunes review.
We're stuck on two.
I think so.
All right,
shoot us an iTunes review. Tell your friends. Pass it on if you like it.
Or just tell your friends. I don't give a shit. I mean, I do give a shit about the rest of this stuff, but I'd really prefer that you just lie to somebody. Tell them like this podcast is full of like boobs and free money, and just whatever you can do to get somebody else to listen.
Yeah, and listen to our Batman episode that we put up this week.
If you've seen the movie.
If you've seen the movie, just our thoughts. We differed a little bit, so.
Yeah. So check it out. We probably won't do another supplemental episode for quite a while. It's just a bonus that we're not going to charge anybody for. It's just for the good of the audience. But, like, you know, we do appreciate.
And because I wanted to talk about Batman.
For a long time, yeah. So if you listen to both of them, both of our podcasts this week, get at us, because that's probably worth some kind of special listener prize, too. So Michael Kalinich, if you've listened to both episodes this week.
Or Tyler Moliterno. I'm going to give him a
name check.
Shout out. Yeah,
all right.
Because he tried to correct me last week, telling me.
And you didn't strike him down?
No, I did. I backed up what I said.
Yeah, okay.
No, like, I mean, that's cool, though. Like, if I say something wrong, I'm all for it. Like,
he'll never admit it, but...
I'm never wrong. No, but if I say something wrong. You think is wrong, get at us. Yeah, he got us on Twitter about two different things. I forget what they were. Okay. One was about Nolan being on Superman, and then something else. Oh, I guess, listening back, I made it sound like The Imposter was a Barack Obama documentary.
Yeah, I think you did.
Because I was reading through the... limited releases, and I said The Imposter, and then I saw two Barack Obama documentaries. So I think just how it came out, I knew The Imposter wasn't an Obama documentary, but it did sound like I said that, which I didn't.
Well, either way, if you've got any kind of corrections you'd like to make,
I'll get at us, and then I'll tell you why you're wrong.
Why you're an asshole, and whatever. I'll probably back you up. Even if you call me an idiot, I'll say, yeah, you're right.
No, we like that. So jackass. Feel free to get at us on Twitter and or Facebook or anything. So.
Keep up the good work.
Keep it up.